And we're back. What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Culture and Cannabis Podcast. This is episode number 29, JC.
29.
Hey, that's a lot.
We're here every single week.
Every Thursday, we go live to you. What time is it right now? It is 4:28, so we're about 6 minutes late from, oh no, 8 minutes late from 4:20. Sorry, doing stoner math. But, you know, we have a great guest today for everybody. We have someone who's been a OG in the Nevada cannabis industry here. We have Todd Dakin in the building. How are you doing, Todd?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being on. So, listen, you started this lab called DigiPath.
Yeah.
DigiPath Labs. How'd that all happen?
You know, I originally founded a cultivation here in Vegas, GB Sciences, and then we were building some cool apparatuses to tissue culture, to grow, and to cure. And then the fourth phase of that was testing. And then so we started researching testing a little bit and said, oh, wow, we have to be a separate entity completely, and it's a whole different license. So I have some investor friends that put together some money, and we found some guys who owned a company called DigiPath, and it was a digital pathology company where they made digital pathology hardware and software and sold them to laboratories and universities and research hospitals all over the world, really. So we raised a bunch of money, we infused it into the company, we applied for our license based on our digital pathology experience, hired a really smart chief science officer, Dr. Cindy Orser, and applied, and here we are 5 years later, right? So it was quite a process, though. It took about a year and a half. As you know, it started in 14, and then we opened. Funny, we got inspected on 420 in 2015, and then 30 days later, we were licensed.
That's awesome. And so, you know, I mentioned this to you before on the podcast. I feel like whenever anyone thinks of a cannabis lab, especially in the industry, they think of DigiPath Labs, right? Why is that? How did you guys become, you know, kind of a household name in the cannabis industry?
Yeah, well, it took a lot of kissing babies and shaking hands. You know, when the industry first started, it was medical only, right? And me and my very good friend, Shelby Stanley,
shouts out.
Yeah, shout out to Shelby. What up? Who I know is a guest on the show.
Yes,
right?
She's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, she's
amazing.
Awesome. We just went out and shook hands and introduced ourselves to everybody in the industry. A new place would pop up. You know, we would send them usually a basket of chocolate, and then we'd go and shake their hands and tell them that, you know, I like to do business in a partnership, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's how we approached, you know, opening the lab, because there's a lot of lab choices here in Nevada. And I think it's all about customer service and credibility, right? Mm-hmm. And in this industry, you have to go spend time with some people, and they have to trust you and know you. And that's what we did. And then we performed well, you know, because it's all about, you know, performance once you kiss the babies and shake the hands, right? And we did. We had the biggest, the brightest, the baddest. We had it's a great laboratory. It's state of the art. We built it to have a lot of capacity. And the answer was always yes, and then we just worked out the details, and that's kind of how we ran things.
That's awesome. And so today, you guys are now not only a lab that tests cannabis, but you guys also do genetics now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So back in July of last year, we've been working with Vessel for a long time, mm-hmm. Developing a couple different products.
Vessel, who's Vessel?
Vessel is a genetics company up okay. in British Columbia.
Okay.
And then in July, we ended up buying them and then brought in their management to be part of our management, right? Mm. So there's a lot of big work that still has to be done in cannabis, right? Mm-hmm. We're still 5 seconds into the industry, right? And there's not a lot of research, there's not a lot of that available. So in order to participate with any of that stuff, you gotta do it yourself. And you know, the guys up at Vessel were the right fit for DigiPath at the right time to really take that next jump into product development and into the genetic realm, because we've done lots of studies at DigiPath, you know, in the terpene world together with Vessel. And what their specialty is, you know, adjusting the DNA and figuring out what plant does what best, right? And they used our terpene technology and what we were able to, you know, put together from the data that we collected over the years, because we've, you know, 30,000 test. You know, that means 30,000 terpene profiles we've been able to, you know, to do. So we mixed and matched the data and came out with some really cool stuff, and it was a really good move for the company, really good move for Kyle and Philippe, who are the guys from Vessel. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good marriage.
30,000, that's a lot.
That's a lot of samples.
That's a lot of terpenes. That's a lot of terpenes, a lot of samples. Yeah, so sure. With that data, obviously, like you said, you know, you can use it to, you know, help create products and stuff of that nature. Can you sell that type of data?
You know, it's an interesting question. In the very beginning, Leafly and Confident Cannabis, they all wanted data. They all wanted our data. Our phone rang off the hook for the data. So rather than sell our data, we hired a statistician, you know, a guy with his master's degree in statistics, and he started assembling our data, and then we started doing a little research and figuring out what the data was telling us. And Cindy Orser, who's our chief science officer, wanted to focus was in terpenes, because first we looked at all the cannabinoids, and a cannabinoid is a cannabinoid is a cannabinoid, mm-hmm. right? But it's the terpene profile that really makes the difference between plant A and plant B, right? It's yeah. how it tastes, how it smells, plus the physiological effects that you get from terpenes combined with the cannabinoids as well. In fact, we did a study. We took 2,500 samples from 27 different growers and looked at the data. First, we looked at the cannabinoids, and there was all the same. It was pretty much the same, and you can see it on a chart, and it's all the same, right? And then we looked at the terpenes, and there were three distinct clusters, which really told us that all of the pot in Nevada, or all of the pot that we tested in Nevada, was pretty much fell into one of these three clusters, which also tells us that there's really three main, you know, cultivars or strains, what people call them, right, mm-hmm. in Nevada, and everything else is an offshoot and part of that main strain family, right? There were a few that were off the chart, and, you know, so there's another, you know, half a dozen or something like that, you know, that didn't fit any of the profile.
Yeah.
But mainly, these three profiles captured every one of those samples. You know, so strain naming is so ridiculous, and, you know, there's no strategy for it except, what does it look like? I don't know. Let's call it whatever. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So because there's no convention to naming strains other than, you know, your cousin comes up with a cool name, or something happens in the grow room and you figure it out, or right? I mean, so that's how strain names are made, right? And this is a way to really show that all of that, strain names don't mean anything. You know, it's really all about the genetics. And we also then took the data from the terpenes and then took those samples and had the genetics done to confirm our suspicion that they were related, the three clusters, you know, were related. So there's three strains in Nevada, right? And they're all just named a whole bunch of different things.
What were the three strains that you identified?
Well, there's groups of them.
Oh, right? I see what you're saying.
So it could be a group of, you know, 50 of them, right? They're all the same, though.
Yeah.
But they're right? Something different.
What's that?
But they're called something different.
They're all yeah. called something different, you know, and then there's a group of, you know, 100 of these,
yeah.
you know, that have all the same terpene profiling.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
So, like, all the weed gets you the same high? Is that what's happening out there?
It's kind of what is really happening. Yeah, yes, and I know there's a THC war,
yeah.
you know, here in Nevada, in most legal mm-hmm. states. But I challenge anyone to smoke a 17% joint and then smoke a 27% joint and tell me the difference, because you won't be able to, because we have an endocannabinoid system with CB1 receptors that get filled up with THC, and when you're high, right? The person who's gonna say what's different or what's better mm-hmm. is whatever tasted the best
yeah.
and whatever mm-hmm. smelled the best, whatever's the best experience, because you're gonna get high from both of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like for me, whenever I have a lower THC count, like lower THC level with a high terpene profile, I feel like I have a way better high experience. And I feel like I get higher too, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I go for the very terpy strains for what I like to smoke.
If you walk into any dispensary, what's yeah. like your number one strain that you go to?
Face on Fire.
Face on Fire. Is that from
Grower Circle?
Oh, Grower Circle. Mm-hmm. I was going to yeah. say GLP. But.
Yeah, no, that's Grower Circle. Jenny Kush at GB.
Oh, GB, okay.
And I like Steve's Strawberry Cough.
Yes.
At GLP.
All good stuff.
Really
good stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, looking, and I know we kind of rushed into, you know, talking, we dived right into DigiPath, but you guys, you do a lot more than just DigiPath as well. You also
Well, I left DigiPath.
You also left DigiPath.
Yeah.
And now, what are you doing now?
So I left DigiPath last October because we found some guys who were qualified to come in and do what I did, mm-hmm. right? And now I've been consulting. So I work with a few different cannabis companies. And I also run and took with me when I left DigiPath, TNM News, which is a news, information, and education website, big Facebook page, big Instagram page. We got a bunch of followers on Facebook, a lot of traffic on the site, where, you know, 5 years ago when we started it, we went out and started interviewing all the movers and shakers in the cannabis space, everyone from, you know, Dr. Lester Grinspoon, who's like the father of modern day, you know, medical marijuana, to Tommy Chong, to Congressman Andy Harris, and Governor Gary Johnson, who ran for president, yeah. right? So we just started interviewing folks, and people started listening and arguing with each other. And when the audience interacts, as you know, you're kind of onto something. So we just kept doing it. And now we're broadcasting all over the place. I was just up in Oregon for Hemp University.
Nice.
That Hemp Inc. put on. And then I go out to the Cannabis Cafe in Los Angeles a couple of times a month and do a couple shows out of there and interview
the Lowell's one? The Lowell's?
Well, it's not Lowell's anymore.
Lowell's, yeah.
Yeah, now Lowell's. It's called the original Cannabis Cafe, but it opened as Lowell's.
Oh, yes.
That's correct.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
why are you laughing at me?
I'm just laughing. what happened to Lowell's?
It's kind of a fun place.
I think they either got Me Too'd or something of that nature. I saw some bad press about it.
Yeah, there was some weird bad press too. I don't remember what it was either.
But they changed the name and now they have a different spot. Yeah. So.
And it's a great place.
I've heard it's really cool.
It is a great place, and it's so bizarre that you can smoke weed and order a burger or a sandwich or a whatever, you know.
Can you get a beer too?
No alcohol. Yeah, no alcohol, but cannabis everywhere. Literally, yeah. I mean, that's why you go.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly.
And you guys are producing a show out of there.
Yeah, we do a show. We've been doing it since November.
Nice.
Our co-host, Christine Sclafani, is out there. She's our culture correspondent.
Cool.
And we do a lot of culture stuff and interviews and stuff like that. And I'm hoping that you guys are going to join us on the culture page.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Awesome.
So how do you produce that show out of the cafe?
You know, I show up with a very portable unit, much more portable than you have here, right? Uh-huh. I have this little camera that they use on for the NBA tonight, you know, when they go on the court. Okay. It's literally a camera this big, and you can even switch it and set it to four different camera settings, and you can switch as you record. It's pretty cool. And it hooks right into your iPhone, and so your iPhone or your iPad ends up being a switcher, right? And you can do it right. It's a great little setup, and it's easy, you know, and with a little ring light, and we sit at the bar, and we interview their brands that they have there, as well as some local, you know, LA cannabis celebrities.
Nice.
I just thought that Dr. Dina, who was, the inspiration for Nancy Botwin in Weeds.
Oh, okay.
She's best friends with Snoop. Snoop named her Dr. Dina because back in the day, it's so funny when she tells the story, he wasn't Snoop Dogg, he was just Snoopy the rapper. Yes. Right. Yeah. She helped him get his medical marijuana card, his first one. So ever since then, he called her Dr. Dina, and then the rest is her history. Yeah. But she runs Oz, which is a big dispensary in West Hollywood. And Cannabis Cafe is right down the street. So her and Jason Beck are partners. Jason's a big advocate and a big political guy in the cannabis space. Anyway, Dr. Dina was there. And then we talked to Chef D. You know, she's a cannabis chef.
Edible D.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Shout out to Edible D.
Yeah.
Edible
D. What up, D? Yeah, we do a weekly thing, me and her, on TNM News as well.
Love her. Yeah,
she's awesome.
Nice.
And then whoever else is out there, we talked to a lot of other brands, you know, that they cover there. El Blunto, we talked to last week.
El Blunto.
Which is like a high-end blunt.
El Blunto.
El Blunto.
That's a good name.
I've been called El Blunto before.
Have you?
Yeah, the company name is Albert Einstones.
Okay. El Blunto.
Somebody's really creative.
Literally, it comes in a like a humidor, and with five different blunts in glass cases, and it's really like a looks like a high end came right out of a humidor, kind of a cigar shop thing.
Nice.
You know, those were nice dudes, and they have this little lemonade shot, you know, also that they make. Yeah, they were cool guys. But yeah, we like to kind of expose everybody to how normal it is for guys like us, you know, and people who, you know, eat and smoke pot, right? Mm-hmm. It's normal for us, but for people who don't do it, you know, it's, you know, everyone looks at it as bad or illegal or whatever it is, however they see it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was actually recently in Idaho for my friend's birthday, and I had gotten some weed there illegally. I'm not going to tell how I got it there, but we're driving in the car, and his girlfriend is freaking out because she's like, you know, we have weed in the car, and they pour people all over all the time for that. We'll all go to jail. It's like, we'll be okay. I promise. We're all going to make it home. But it made me realize after we got home, like, got back to his place, is that, like, shit, like, she was right. Like, if we did get pulled over in the state, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
That shit is real.
That shit's real for people's lives right now. And that's so crazy because I have fucking... I have a half ounce of weed right here sitting on the table, like no big deal.
Right, and you drove it in here in your car, and it's no big deal because it's allowed, right? Yeah. When if you don't live, that's a prime example of, you know, if you don't live in a cannabis-friendly state, it is anti-cannabis. Mm-hmm. And you can't even relate to how we're just so nonchalant about everything. And that's how it's been in California for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, people are walking down the street smoking weed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't quite do that here, but
not
I mean,
as much.
Not as much.
But that's you'll see it for sure. No, I mean, if you're in Denver,
it's like that.
Denver's like that. Yeah. For sure. But downtown Fremont, if you're downtown Fremont, anytime past 10 o'clock, it smells like weed the whole time.
Yeah, that's funny.
So yeah, but I think going forward, I think that's why smoking lounges are so needed, right?
So needed.
It's for tourists, really for tourists. I mean, not for locals, but for tourists to go somewhere and consume cannabis.
That's right.
And experience, just the way that you experience it in LA.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Nuwu has that tasting lounge.
Yes. Shout out to Nuwu.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah, we had a great time over there. And it's so mind-blowing when you first go, right? Because you're like, wait, because you're always, your whole life, right?
Yeah.
You're always hiding when you want to go smoke some weed. And you don't have to hide. And it's so freeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really is. It's liberating when you're at the Cannabis Cafe, when you're at Nuwu. It's like, wow, you know, it's this sense of relief. It's so weird, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the first time we went, the first time was for Gen T's Cannabis Industry Night.
Yes.
So Gen T, I don't know if you know Jen.
Yeah, sure.
Gen T, yeah, she throws a Cannabis Industry Night every Tuesday. I think she's going to be going again where, you know, hop on a bus, you start at 7th and Carson, go over to Nuwu, you smoke, go back and have like cheap food.
Nice.
So not cheap food, really, really good food at affordable prices.
Inexpensive food.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's a late happy hour.
It's a late happy hour, essentially. Yeah. So it's great too. And I think Nuwu is a great example of why cannabis lounges work already, 100%, right? Because 100%. It works perfectly there.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And have you seen the lounge that they built at Planet 13? They're not using it. But
Yes. Yeah, so that's gonna be super badass.
It's gonna be super badass.
And I think Nuwu, not that I think, I know, on February 9th, February 10th, they're doing a Shretch and Sesh.
Yes.
Which is a yoga smoking thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like the first 45 minutes you're stretching, and then the 30 minutes in between you're smoking, and then the 45 minutes you're stretching.
Right. I think it's like $35, comes with a mat and a teacher and a and a bong hit, right?
Yeah, and a bong hit. No, it comes with a pre-roll.
Or pre-roll.
A pre-roll. Yeah. So
well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I think that's like so inventive because I've heard the argument like, well, it's like I don't see the viability of a company that is set up that just has people come and smoke weed. But you can do so much more than just come into his place and smoke weed. You could do a movie theater, you could do yoga, you can do a paint and puff, you can do a million
so
different
many things. Right.
Literally anything you do right now, just add weed to it, and that's a campus
lounge. Makes it better.
Yeah, it does make it better.
Right.
So do you consume every day? Are you can tell if you don't mind asking.
I don't mind you asking. Yes, every day, including today.
Do you do it as a use? I mean, obviously medicinally, but you use it medicinally and recreationally, or you see it kind of the same?
Well, to me, it's you start it off recreationally, and then you realize as you get older that you are using it medicinally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm 56 years old. I'm not on any medication. I don't take blood pressure or no Lipitor, no nothing, literally nothing. And I smoke weed, right? And I have a lot of friends that don't smoke weed. In fact, I play poker with a bunch of group of dudes that have been playing for 15 years. We have a poker house in Henderson that's just a house for poker.
Oh, right? That's cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. And usually there's one other guy maybe in the room that's smoking weed. And everyone, you know, they're always – and, you know, I've been there for a long time and, you know, I've known a lot of these guys for a long time. But, you know, I'll smoke – 2 or 3 joints as I'm playing poker for 6 hours, you know what I mean? And they always ask, how do you not just get wasted? I'd be so wasted. That's not what happens to me when I smoke weed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It takes my stress level from here, brings it to about here, yeah. So everything's okay.
Yeah.
It lets me focus, yeah. Right? And that's what it does for me. But that's not to say I don't like being high, because I do, right? That's a nice... byproduct of medicating yourself, so you feel good.
No, 100%.
I think I fall right in that same area.
What?
Where he's at?
With 2 to 3, it brings stress level down.
Well, just how I use cannabis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like to get high. I like to use it on a recreational level. But if I'm having trouble sleeping, right? You know, if I'm stressed out or whatever, I like to use it for that reason too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've had some stomach issues. I just I have diverticulitis was one thing that I've had for the last 20 years. Actually, I just had surgery last year, but I use cannabis all the time to help with the pain because it's a very painful, you know, lower intestinal thing.
Yeah.
And I also use cannabis to heal as well. I mean, you see this thing on my face. I just had a little piece of cancer, you know, yanked out. And I've been using, you know, CBD oil and hemp oil and mixed with tea tree. And I have one over here as well. And the doctors are just amazed.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing about that. I even brought it in to the doctor, my dermatologist who did the work, right? And I said, oh, this is what I'm going to use. You know, do you have an opinion about CBDs? And he goes, yeah, I don't know anything about those CDBs. And it was almost embarrassing. Mm-hmm. You know, here he is a doctor, and all of this is in the news, and you know what I mean? And
yeah.
At least go read something. You know what I mean? How do you not know about it because it's so prevalent? But from their point of view, they can't do anything with it. They're not going to prescribe it. It's not in their arsenal of what they're going to use to tell their patients.
Yeah.
So,
they don't get kickbacks yet.
That's right. And they don't get kickbacks yet. Right. That's true.
But it's interesting to see, though, how many other, like... I mean, from being in the cannabis industry, working with some CBD companies, it's crazy that, like, you're starting to see it slowly creep into the medical side, right? Like, you know, you're not getting your family doctor to be like, hey, go get fucking CBD. But you might go to your chiropractor, and there will be some CBD for sale.
Yep.
And I think a lot of, like, sports therapy places we're going to have, like, PT, physical trainer places are starting to have CBD. And I know that from companies I work with, they already sell in those places.
Yep.
Do you think that it will ever turn into like the way that prescription medicine is today, where like
kind of? Here's what I think is going to happen. I think over the next 5 years, cannabis is going to be a commodity, and it's going to be sold on a futures market, like commodities are, like corn and soybean and coffee, because it's the only way to make it easier and cost effective for the big brands like Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all of these guys to integrate CBD into their products, because they all want to do it, but Coke can't add $1 or $2 to a bottle. They'll lose their market share.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they can add 2 or 3 cents or 4 cents. So how does it become a commodity? In the United States, it's going to become difficult, because here in Nevada, it costs between $600 and $1,200 per pound to grow.
Yeah.
Just to grow it, right? And they're selling them for, they're taxed at the $2,600 to $2,800 range. Some people get $3,000, some people get $35, some people get $4,000. But the average pound is going for about, $2,200, $2,300, right? And in a country like Colombia, the cost to grow a pound is $50, not $600, right? So that same pound that cost, almost $1,200, depending on the size of your facility, because it's all indoors, got heavy air conditioning, lots of labor.
Yeah.
Depending on the technology that you use and the size of your facility, it could be as much as $1,200 a pound to grow. And I don't believe that the United States, especially Nevada, and I don't think Canada either, is sustainable. It's just not sustainable.
Yeah.
A country like Colombia, they're on the equator. They have 365 days of 12 hours of sunlight and 12 hours of darkness every single day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have nothing but land, and they have labor that's already trained because they've been growing pot for hundreds of years, and they've been growing the coca plant for hundreds of years. So they know how to farm. They're a country of farmers, right? They grow the third most coffee in the world, the third most flowers, you know, in the world that are in florists, you know what I mean? So they know how to ship also. So I think it could happen in the United States as well if the corn farmers switch over to growing hemp. I think that could happen too, and that could save our economy as well. That's my whole dream, is that I'm a big believer in hemp, and I believe that corn isn't even a food anymore.
I really like this idea already. Okay. I hate corn.
Right, it's not even a food.
Fuck corn.
Right.
I like corn on the cob. No,
take your corn off the cob and shut up your ass. Fuck corn.
Right.
Corn is so bad for you.
It's so bad for you. It's not even food. It's zero nutrition. They only grow it because it's subsidized, and they make ethanol. And it costs more money in fossil fuels to make the ethanol than the ethanol is worth. So it's just a subsidized government scam. So now they make corn oil and put corn oil in batteries, tires. Why is there corn oil in my tires, right? It doesn't need to be there. Sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, okay.
So, and this is your brand, right?
Yeah, so this is the G13 that we're currently smoking. G13 crossed the Hawaiian sativa. I think it tested at like 17% THC, had like 21 milligrams total of terpene.
Nice.
Terpene profile.
Tastes good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's great. It's grown in a greenhouse, a hybrid greenhouse, which is Solaris. They have a very, very high-tech hybrid greenhouse. And I didn't even realize that, I didn't realize how advanced growing systems already are,
right.
But it makes sense,
right.
Just because we're like the number one farmers in the world. So it makes sense why we have such advanced greenhouse technology, but I'm guessing they've had to really, really make it special for cannabis.
Yeah, I've been over there. They have a very impressive greenhouse
over
at Solaris. I've been there several times.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. Every time I go in there, it has good energy. And it's crazy, you know, it's like funny when you get around those plants, it's like you can tell when the plants are healthy because like the energy in that room, it just feels healthier. I don't know if that's weird or not, but I go over there, I feel like, wow, these plants are really happy right now.
I think plants can be happy and sad, that is for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they certainly thrive in happy environments as well. But even a place like Solaris, who is a state-of-the-art facility, they got top-notch stuff, right? But how do they compete with a $50 pound of pot?
They can't. No.
Right? It's just not sustainable business-wise, right? So what I believe is going to happen, you know, just to get back to that, is the chemicals that are being extracted now will be ingredients for things. You'll be able to extract just CBD or just CBN or just CBG, the new wonder CBD, right?
Yeah.
Right, CBG. And this is just not including the flavonoids and the other molecules that we don't even know exist yet, because there's hundreds of them. You know, there's hundreds of them. So I believe over time, you'll be able to just buy a kilo or a 5 kilo or a whatever that ends up being, right, of CBD, CBN, THC, Delta 9, Delta 8, Delta 7, THC, CA even, because that has medicinal effects and you don't get any high from it. So that's what I think is gonna happen over time. I do think though that there will always be boutiques, you know, but the boutique is gonna be a Solaris. You know, they're as big as they are, right? There is still a big operation.
Yeah.
They're going to be a boutique because they're going to be able to grow certain strains that cannabis connoisseurs, which exist, right? You're one.
Yeah.
I believe I'm one, right? You always want the best or something new, or you want to taste something different, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I believe that the cannabis connoisseur will find the good stuff that they want, and that's why I believe the smaller grows will survive, but not on a massive scale the way everything else, because to grow it, then to extract it, and then to package it, and then to do all of that, when you can just package it, it changes your whole business model.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, we've learned, you know, the hard way that taxes are a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's crazy.
Lucky you're not in California.
Yeah, lucky we're not in California.
That's right.
I want to stay on this topic because it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So do you think then, like, obviously you want it to be a commodity. Do you think it's going to be like a medicine, though, or do you think it's going to be like alcohol?
Okay, you know, this is a very unique product in that to some people it's morphine and to other people it's whiskey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so it is a very unique situation. I think that...
Both medicinal, too.
Yeah. I think that there's always going to be that population that just wants to get high. Okay, so there will always be a recreational demand because we're the human being, right, wants to get high. It's proven, right? We'll do anything for a vice, right? Cigarettes, cigars, alcohol, pot, and the myriad of other drugs that are out there, like mushrooms and coke and everything else that people spend their lives and spend their money on,
mm-hmm.
right? So we know people are going to do that, right? So even if it's a medicinal thing, because opiates aren't recreational,
of course,
but they sure are recreational.
Yeah, that's true.
Right,
that is true.
Right, so I think all of it is medicinal because it helps us. It, you know, our endocannabinoid system demands these CBDs, you know, that we give them. So it's all medical, even if you're just smoking weed. But to answer your question, there's countries like Germany and Poland and the Czechoslovakia and Ukraine that they're only medical. So you have to, it's the pharmacies that import the product, right? And everything has to be GMP certified. Everything has to be, you know, approved on both sides with COAs and on both sides, right? So it's being treated worldwide as a medicine because it's the pharmacies in these countries that have legal cannabis laws, but they don't grow it. So they have to import it all. So I think it moves into the cannabis, into the medical side worldwide, you know, globally.
Yeah.
In here in the United States and, you know, in a lot of parts of Europe, it's always going to be recreational.
Yeah.
It just always will, even if you're getting it in a pill form 10 years from now, right? Which would be great, right? I wish I could find an edible that makes me feel like a flower, gets me high, right? Because I like to smoke instead of edibles, because edibles either get me whacked out of my mind where I hate myself, or they do nothing. Right.
They used to make Marinol.
They used to make Marinol.
Marinol was like it was
synthetic.
Yeah, synthetic marijuana. Yeah.
Like what's the other one? Fucking not salvia. What the fuck did that one? Spice. You guys remember? You guys heard of spice?
Oh, yeah.
Spices was my 13 to 15 year old weed.
No, that shit's crazy.
That shit's nuts.
Yeah, spice was horrible. Poisonous.
The fact that they even allowed that on the market was nuts.
Yeah. It's one of those loopholes for the smoke shops.
Yeah, but Marinol was a really good example of not being able to duplicate what the cannabis flower can do as opposed to creating a synthetic version of that, because every medicine that we take is from plants. It's derived from plants, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lipitor is from mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes from plants, but they couldn't extract and duplicate what nature was doing with the cannabis plant because of there's so many different molecules and the entourage effect. You know, it's not just the terpenes and the cannabinoids. There's flavonoids, like we said, and there's other chemicals inside this plant that add to the medicinal side that they weren't able to duplicate with Marinol because they just focused on the THC and the CBD, the two molecules that probably don't do the most, but we know the most about.
Yeah. So, and I wanted to ask you that question too. So you had brought up, you think the future is like we'll have science so advanced that we'll be able to extract directly like just CBD or CBN or CBG.
Yes.
But you believe though from that statement that full spectrum is the way to go.
Currently, yes. I do.
But you think in the future that the science can be advanced enough where an isolate version of a THC or CBD or whatever molecule you want to call it, terpene, will be potentially could be better than full spectrum.
Yes, and what I also believe will happen is that once we're able or we find a CBG-rich genetic, right, then it will be bred specifically for that.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why it's so hard to find a sativa now, which I hate the terms of even indica and sativa. If anyone ever asks me, whoa, what is it? I always say, oh, what do you want it to be? Right? Because over time, everything's been bred for high THC.
Yeah.
Right? And the sativa has just been bred out of bad breeding and, you know, 50, 60, 70 years of people in their garage or, you know, their mother's basement, you know, cross breeding, and I want to mix this with that and that with this and this with that, and all of a sudden everything's a mess because everyone's going for high THC. So we actually did a study, and then we read somebody else's study, how, you know, 95% of the cannabis here in the United States is all indica. Most of it is hybrid, but it's indica, you know, focused because of the past breeding. And to get a real live sativa, you have to get it from Afghanistan or, you know, China or somewhere that nobody's messed with it yet. And even the Humboldt County growers that say, you know, I'm ninth generation cannabis grower, right?
Yeah.
Chances of him having a seed from nine generations ago are pretty slim.
Yeah.
They're pretty slim.
Very true. Hmm. Well, shit, that was a fucking dope podcast.
Yeah, we got deep there.
We got really deep there, really quick. Todd, I want to have you back on the show.
I would love to.
Yeah, I would love to have you back on the show. Awesome. I want to talk more with you. I feel like we have so much shit, more shit to talk about, but we ran out of time today. But
oh no.
Thank you so much for coming on the TV show. On the podcast. Sorry.
It's a TV show, too.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm watching myself.
Right.
Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Of course.
Really appreciate it. But JC, you want to tell people about what the fuck we've been doing lately?
Man, it's I will. You want me to?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we launched a cannabis business last week, right? So
last week,
you know. And I think, can we talk about the numbers?
No.
Is it weird to talk about the numbers?
Yeah, that's weird. It's okay. Weird to talk about the numbers.
We had a successful launch,
yeah,
right?
That's a good way to put it.
We did it in Las Vegas, we did it in Reno. But the launch continues, right? So tomorrow, well, last week we dropped the pre-rolls.
Yep.
Six different flavors, six different strains, powered by Solaris Farms. We've been talking about it. But tomorrow at the Acres Underground, our whole team is going to be there.
Yep, I'll be there.
We're going to drop a brand new product line, right? The half ounces and the ounces of full flower by Culture and Cannabis. I think we're gonna come out with the G13 strain.
Yep, the G13 Hawaii sativa.
And then I'm gonna tell you, those flower buds are looking dope.
We just smoked it right now, and that's why I said TV show, because I'm so high from it. So it's really good, and it has really good flavor, and really excited for you guys to come try it out. What time are we gonna be there tomorrow?
4 to 7 Friday and Saturday. Entire team's gonna come down there
at Acres Underground.
Acres Underground.
Chuck's gonna be there, so if you want to come be on camera, come say what's up to Chuck. Todd might come down. I don't know.
I haven't asked him yet,
but Todd would love you to come down.
Acres is fun.
So Todd's gonna be there. We can talk with him more about flavonoids and cannabinoids. So yeah.
And you can still scan your QR code.
Yes,
right?
Listen, people, and we're gonna put out a video about this, but there is a QR code. I know you can't see it from here, but there's QR code, and the people listening on the podcast, I know you can't see it either. But there's a QR code that says scan me right there. All you gotta do, you might have to zoom in just a tiny bit on your camera. You hit it with your phone, with your camera app. It pulls up a link. It takes you to the Culture and Cannabis website. It asks if you're 21 or not, because you have to be 21 or older to get this. And then it allows you to put in your information, and then you get a free ticket to the Culture and Cannabis event on February 22nd with Paul Wall at Place on 7th. I mean, that's just a great deal.
It is a great deal.
You buy weed, get free tickets.
It's the best deal in the market.
It's almost as good as pizza and weed, but it might be a little bit better.
Weed and weed.
Yeah. Weed and weed is actually the best combo. You're right, Todd. But yeah, so that's about it. So we'll see you at Acres Underground tomorrow, 4 to 7. Pick up the half ounce. Check out TNM,
TNM News, either at TNMnews.com or TheNationalMarijuanaNews.com.
You have anything else you want to plug before we hop on?
Oh, well, our Facebook page is National MJ News. So is our Instagram. And, you know, if you want to or need a consultant, you know, hit me up at ToddDenken.com.
ToddDenken.com. Awesome. Well, great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
That was episode number 29 of the Culture and Cannabis Podcast. We'll see you guys next Thursday.
Peace.